Before we go any further, I think we need to thank the children. Can the children come to the front, please? We can give them a round of applause. Do I need you at the front one last time? Okay, you need to come to the front because I've got some presents for you. That will get them. Okay. You'll have to wait. Stop. Don't snatch. I've got to find out whose is whose, so just slow me down. So, to our excellent Joseph, give him a round of applause. To our wonderful wise man. To our amazing angel.
Okay, who have we got now? It's really hard for me to read my writing on these. Okay. Who have I got here?
Me. So
this is Mary. Esther. Where's our star?
Oh, she's so boring.
Magdalena star.
Hang
on. Oh, the pen seemed really clear when I wrote these. And now I can hardly see. Who's he says? Hang on. Yeah, just a minute, guys. I'm really struggling to see my writing. Yeah, absolutely. They're all written on somewhere and I can't find where I've written names. They're on the back.
Ryan.
Right, so this is Ryan. There you are, Ryan. Where's Isla, my shepherd? Yes, you did. Yes. Where's Rebecca, my shepherd? Who's no longer a shepherd, obviously.
So this must be Stephanie.
Stephanie, yeah.
Yep, Stephanie. So, yeah, you take it with you.
And which one's like this?
That one.
Oh, it's Melody's. Oh, okay, go on.
Right. Ah, I do look ridiculous with this hat, don't I? But never mind. In the Christmas spirit. Just a few minutes then, I just want to talk about our carol service. We've been singing these songs, some of them very familiar, some of them new. And they proclaim the miracle of Christmas. And the children's first song talked about the astonishing, amazing miracle that took place over 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem. And that miracle was the birth of Jesus Christ. And the song highlights the miraculous nature of what took place on that first Christmas day. But, you know, it didn't really look like a miracle, did it, for most people there? They sang 2,000 years ago in a town that we all know, underneath the brightest star, people came from near and far. Little did they realize that right before their very eyes, a miracle was happening in the town. Astonishing, amazing miracle in the town. Born in a lowly stall, baby Jesus, here for all, there upon the straw and hay. Now we call it Christmas Day. But the people there and then, they never knew in Bethlehem a miracle was happening in the town. All this year I've preached on what I've called the miraculous and the mundane. How God steps into our world so often in miraculous ways. Ways that reason and science can't explain. And he reveals himself and he works in our ordinary everyday lives. But, you know, often we fail to see the miraculous because it's just wrapped in ordinary brown paper, effectively. You know, at Christmas, we wrap up these gifts in shiny paper. We put ribbons on, we put bows on. We like things to look beautiful. And anything that looks ordinary, we kind of tend to not want, because we want what looks spectacular, don't we? But there's more to Christmas than the tinsel and the decorations, than the twinkling lights, than the wrapping paper, than the shiny baubles that Magda loves to take off the tree because they're so great. Yeah, there's more to Christmas than that. There's more than the food, even though we enjoy it. There's more than the party games, even though they're all fantastic. And that first Christmas, the real miracle was Jesus being born in a lowly stall, born in the chaos of a census, when all the people were teeming into Bethlehem. And so there was just a lot of mess and a lot of noise. And there wasn't even a guest room for Mary and Joseph when they arrived. There were many miracles. You know, there were these angels. There were, you know, this miraculous star there. But the majority of the people in Bethlehem didn't know that something miraculous was going on. Casting Crowns have written a song that says, Bethlehem, you will go down in history as a city with no room for your king. Because nobody really expected the king to be born like that. Isaiah the prophet wrote many hundreds of years before Jesus was born, to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And we see in those verses that God promises a saviour, a rescuer to the world, a rescuer who's actually Mighty God himself. But that rescuer will come in ordinary human flesh, wrapped up as a baby. It says, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. And as the angel says to Joseph in his dream, Emmanuel means God is with us. And the angel went on to say, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. That's a miracle baby. Mary knew, just like we all know, that virgins don't get pregnant. But because God was working through his Holy Spirit, she gave birth to a baby who was fully God and fully human. And only by being fully God and fully human could Jesus save us, because there was no taint of sin in him. The miraculous power of God came upon Mary and ensured that the Saviour tasted humanity for us, so he could be the atoning sacrifice for our sins, for the sins of the whole world. The miracle of Christmas is known as the incarnation. God taking on human flesh. God coming to live in our world as an ordinary man. Jesus entered our world as a baby. He was the King of Kings. He was the Lord of Lords. He was in very nature God, Paul says. But he didn't consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. He made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And the miracle is clothed in the mundane. You know, contrary to what the carol says, baby Jesus did cry as a baby. Yeah, he was just like us, so he cried. The story of Christmas reminds us that God steps into our world in miraculous ways. He did it with an elderly couple called Zechariah and Elizabeth, who couldn't have children, and yet an angel came and said they would have a baby boy. They had a child called John, who would preach before Jesus. And then the angel came to Mary and told her that the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So this Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Joseph has a remarkable story confirmed to him by this angel in a dream. And there are miracles. You know, these angels that we've had dressed up, you know, they appeared to the shepherds who were just minding their flocks of sheep at night, just minding their own business. But their ordinary work was interrupted, because they were told that today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Messiah the Lord. And then it says, suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests. Can you imagine the astonishment of those shepherds? when they hear these things. You know, they're not ordinary things, are they? And then we've got that star that guides the wise men to Jesus, brought worshippers from the east. Light, stars, angels, proclamations, they all abound in this Christmas story. And they show us that God works miracles to bring people to know himself. The Christmas story appeals to us all because of these miracles. You know, we see God stepping into our darkness and illuminating it with light. Again, Isaiah said, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. But there's more to Christmas than just the miraculous, because there's this idea of paradox in God. The miracle's wrapped in just cloths and he's placed in a manger because there's no room for him at the inn. This amazing, astonishing miracle in the town was unnoticed. You know, God chose to come to the world not as a king, but as a baby. And apart from the shepherds and a few travellers from the east, you know, we see him born in this unfamiliar town with none of the advantages that we would expect God to need. It was all very ordinary. And Jesus came to be fully human. And to be fully human, a lot of the time, is to have to face very mundane, ordinary things. But he shared in our humanity so that by his death, he could break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil. If the Christmas story was just about miracles, we might think, well, it's got nothing to do with us because we don't expect to see miracles. But actually, the fact that these miraculous things are interwoven with ordinariness shows us it's not just a fairy story. It's not just unreality. We see Zechariah when he's told that they're going to have a son. He doubts. Yeah, we see Mary sort of saying, well, how can I have a baby when I'm a virgin? What, you know, it doesn't make sense. We see Joseph thinking, well, she's been unfaithful to me. What am I going to do? We see all those human emotions in the story. We understand why the wise men thought it was a good idea to go to the palace in Jerusalem to see the king rather than, you know, to follow the star. We understand the jealousy and evil intents of Herod. We understand the people because they're like us. The people in this story are just like us. We live in an imperfect world. You know, our Christmas comes with financial pressure, family fallouts, ill health, problems, yeah? We find as we enter into the Christmas story every year that God truly is Emmanuel. He's there. He's God with us. He's there in the everyday and the mundane just as much as in the miraculous. He's there with us through thick and thin. And this is the final week of Advent. We're just a week away from Christmas. But we need to embrace both the miraculous and the mundane about what God's done for us at Christmas. The miracle of Christmas needs to be shouted out. There's a song that we sing, "Go tell it on the mountain. Over the hills and everywhere, go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born." We've got a Saviour who was made fully like us. And he had to be made fully like us, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because Jesus is both God and man, he can save us from all our sins, all the things that we've ever done wrong. He can bring us back to God. And the miracle of the incarnation means that there's hope for every single one of us. We can be saved. We can be rescued, delivered. We can be brought back to God. We can be set free from sin. We can be made children of God. We can be part of God's family. And tonight we've all got that opportunity to know God for ourselves, to receive from him the free gift of eternal life through Jesus. There's the opportunity to embrace Jesus, to be part of his family, to know this astonishing, amazing miracle that happened that first Christmas. Don't be like the majority of people who didn't realize that God was working a miracle in the town that night. Be like the shepherds and the wise men. Come and worship Jesus, and in your hearts, set him apart as Lord. Amen.